Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. We're going to begin a new series of messages that I've entitled Jesus. And this is going to be a little different because several months ago I felt the Lord put on my heart that we should look at the life of Christ in its entirety. So we're going to look at all of the life of Christ, okay, as much as possible. In fact, I'm devoting 20 different messages to this, but we're not going to do those 20 messages consecutively. We'll break it up in divisions of four messages, and then we'll go on to a different series, and then down the road come back and do four more, do a different series or two, and then go on with four more. How many of y'all would appreciate that? And it might not be in chronological order, but the life of Jesus is worth looking at. How many of us know that to know somebody, to really get to know somebody, we have to study them. We have to interact with them. We have to be around them. We have to observe them. You know, Cindy she's in her new job, has been there for a while, but when she first began, she had to shadow another worker of the same position that she had to observe how they did their job so that she could learn on how to do her job with that in that same position. Well, you know, as followers of Jesus Christ, aren't we all really doing is shadowing Christ? Amen. Right? Aren't we following him? Aren't we staying close to see how he acts, to see how he responds, to see how he is? So that's what we'll be doing in essence through this new series, is we'll be shadowing Jesus Christ. Wow. What a heart-touching, you know, if a series on Jesus doesn't touch your soul, something's wrong with your soul.
Amen.
Because there, honestly, there's no better Bible subject that we can talk about than him. All right, so let's open our Bibles to Mark 5. Once again, we're not going to begin with the birth of Christ. We might take that up during Christmas. But for now, we're going to jump into his ministry. And we're going to look at an incident where there was a woman who had a hemorrhage of blood. In fact, it started with her lady time, her menses. And it went on and on. And so if we're here in Mark chapter 5, let's begin reading with verse 24. So Jesus went with him, that would be Jairus, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Luke's account, Luke 8, and I want to say is it verse 41 or verse 42, that says that the crowd almost crushed Jesus. Listen carefully, the crowd almost crushed Jesus. Who's ever been in a crowd so thick and so powerful that you felt like you were being crushed? That's got to be intense, isn't it? So we can say this was not just a small crowd. This was not just a moderately sized crowd. This was not just a large crowd. It was a throng. It was a massive thing that Luke's account says he was almost crushed. Okay, so he's there. Notice verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for how long, church family? 12 years. 12 years. A flow of blood that did not stop in 12 years. Don't you think she is godly looking? Don't you think she's weak? Don't you think that her body lacks iron? Don't you think that she's probably emaciated? And she's not the picture of health. Okay, so she's had this. And in fact, Leviticus, I'm just going to quote it up here. Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 through 23. If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart for how long, church family?
7 days.
And whoever touches her during those 7 days, she shall be clean until the evening. That is understood there. She will be ceremonially unclean. Verse 20, everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her body, or her bed rather, her bed, shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or anything on which she sits, when she touches it, she will be unclean until evening. So do we get the picture here that the law of Moses required that a person that was in that 7-day period, that she should not have any contact with humans, that she should be quarantined? Do you get the picture? This lady had been quarantined and had no human contact for how long? 12 years. Some of you are thinking, woo-wee, that would be heaven for me. I don't have to deal with man's stupidity. Sorry. Here's a little teaser. Kiki said, you've got to make a teaser. I had to defend the honor of my wife yesterday and almost got in a fight, but come back tonight to hear that story. Anyway, this woman had been ceremonially unclean. She's quarantined. She has no touch, cannot touch her husband, cannot interact with her husband, cannot go out to the market, cannot go to worship at any synagogue, cannot go to worship down to the temple. Who would say that's a miserable existence?
Amen.
Right? She is unclean. She's been unclean not just for 7 days. She's been unclean for 12 years. Let's read on. Verse 26, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Let's stop there. The Talmud was a very, very important Jewish document in the eyes of the Jew, because the Talmud provided Jewish theology, but it also provided day-to-day practices, the daily practices of the Jews and how they should conduct themselves. In the Talmud, I'm going to share with you the extent of the cures, quote-unquote cures, that they had in that day. This woman had no chance. You know, the Mark says that she went to many physicians, suffered many things at their hands, lost all she had monetarily, and only grew worse. Well, the Talmud says that if you have an issue of blood, this is what they prescribe in that Jewish law, that you should get the ashes of an ostrich egg, put them in a linen pouch during the summer, a cotton pouch during the winter, and carry that pouch around with you. And that was supposed to make you better? The same Jewish document, the Talmud, said that you were supposed to go to a donkey dung, a pile of you know what, and then search through it and find a kernel of oat, clean it off, and carry it with you, and that was supposed to make you better. Isn't that called quackery? Isn't that called snake oil? Isn't that called exploiting the weak, the sick, the poor? Listen, church family, we ought to be infinitely grateful. Listen, no one really, can we get technical here? No one really was medically cured. Listen to me here. Mr. Genius here will attest to that. Miss Robin will too, because I know you're a nurse. And until they discovered pathology, and that wasn't discovered till the late 19th century, the late 1800s. Am I right? What is pathology? The causes and the results of diseases. When they identified those in the late 19th century, then they were able to come up with cures to be medically cured. Before then, you were up a creek without a paddle. Am I right, Miss Robin? So listen, this woman had no chance. Her culture, the Talmud, had basically taken her from the nape of the neck and threw her out headlong from the back door of mainstream society. She was on her own, spent all her money, was only getting sicker, not better. How many of y'all know that there's still a cure for this woman?
Amen.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Let's read on. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, I love that verse. How many of y'all are thankful that at one point in your life, you heard about Jesus?
Amen.
I'm thankful that when I was a sophomore in high school, I heard about Jesus. Because my life, from that point on, from the point on that I began to listen and he began to be real to me, and that he was Lord and not the Virgin Mary.
Amen.
Oh, some of you aren't convinced. That he was Lord. Listen, I gave my life to him, and my life has just been an unbelievable adventure in God.
Amen.
I thank God for the moment we hear about Jesus. Let's read on. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. How many of y'all know that she's risking a lot? She's violating Jewish law. You were forbidden from being out in public, and yet, how many of y'all know that at this point, she's probably crawling for a couple of reasons. Number one, to keep a low profile. Number two, because she doesn't have the strength to walk. She's lost too much blood, so she's crawling, and she's maneuvering through this. Remember, the crowd is very thick, so that people are almost being crushed. Verse 27, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, at the bottom of the garment, of the priestly garment, there were tassels. She thought to herself, I don't need to have him pray for me. I want to do this secretly without his knowing. I believe that if I just touch this man, I will be made well. Isn't that great faith? Who would agree with me that faith always carries the element of risk? You know what I have found, church family? You know what I have found? God's people need a good dose of faith into their spirits, I believe. And I'm thinking back of all the different times, listen, that there were church projects to be done, and we were at the council meeting. I remember one in the city of Kansas. We were going to put a balcony there and stairs to go up the balcony. It had no balcony, so that we could have cameras and videotape our services and all this and that. Now they still do it. They still do it from that balcony. I'm thankful. But trying to get the people to buy into that, oh no, it'll be an eyesore. We don't have money. We don't have this. How many of y'all know that risk is always involved with faith?
Amen.
The waters never part until your feet get wet. Right? In the book of Joshua, you can't just say, Lord, part the waters and then I'll cross. No, he's like, jump in and then the waters will part. Anyway, so she's risking a lot. Verse 28, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, this is the way she said it. In the Greek language provides more insight. She kept saying it to herself over and over and over. She's on the ground. If only I may just touch his garment, I will be made well. If only I may just touch his garment, I will be made well. If only I may just touch his garment, I will be made well. Let's move on. Verse 29, immediately, wow, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that suffering, of that affliction. Was it gradual?
No.
It was how? Immediate. It was an immediate healing. Don't you think that she received all kinds of strength in her body immediately? Don't you think all of a sudden she was like a supercharged adrenaline pill? And she thought she was going to sneak out the way she snuck in until our blessed Savior hears of this. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Isn't that amazing? How many of y'all know that Jesus recognizes the touch of faith?
Amen.
I saw a post by Pastor Rod this morning that God answers the prayer of faith, but God does not answer complaints.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Isn't that spot on? Isn't that right on? God knows, Jesus knows when you touch him in faith. Well, Pastor Joe, I've been praying. You know what, church family? Keep praying. Cindy and I have been praying for her kids. And I'm telling you, we started this over a year ago every day. Am I right, babe? Every day. And listen, we've had to endure moments when things got worse. They went from okay to worse. And then we just said, I'm not thinking, Lord, what's the deal? We're praying. And I know enough to know this. I've got to keep praying. Now's not the time to quit. And I told her, I said, listen, I'm not going to let the devil outlast me in this. I'm going to sink my heels in and I'm going to fight for her daughter.
Amen.
And it's not just her kids. You know, my sweet daughter, Gabby, gosh, she just reminds me because she's too much like me. How many of y'all know that's scary? No amens, please. But anyway, you know, she approached me through that Marco Polo app and she said, "Dad, why don't we spend time together every day and I can share my devotion from the Word of God?" This is her initiating this. I'm like, wow. And she said, "You can share your devotion from the Word of God. We can pray for each other." I'm like, let's do that. And we've been doing that. But I thought, Gabby? I mean, Sophie would do it. The oldest one would do it. The middle one would do it. You know, I pray that you guys get to meet all my daughters. And I'm praying that that will happen one of these days. The oldest one would initiate that. The middle one would initiate. But Gabby? She's initiating it. Thank you, Lord. The point here, church family, is you can't give up. You must have the ability to believe God for what you want. How many of y'all know that God doesn't just answer prayer, but God always answers desperate prayer?
Amen.
Was this lady desperate?
Yeah.
And she got a hold of all sorts of power. I love this. Verse 31. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. What else are you going to do? She threw herself at his mercy, right? Because she feared that maybe he would not have compassion. Notice, I love this. Verse 34. And he said to her, what's the next word?
Daughter.
Isn't that interesting? The culture said, we reject you. You cannot take part with us. You cannot go to the synagogue. You cannot go to the temple. You cannot go to the marketplace. You have no part with us. And what does Jesus do? He's waiting at the back door of society, waiting for her.
Amen.
And he calls her what?
Daughter.
He's like, they rejected you. Listen, you're my daughter. Come with me. I love that about Jesus, church family, is that he will take all kinds of rejects in the eyes of the world and he will make them his own.
Amen.
There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you the Comforter." Jesus said, "Woman, you are my daughter." Wow. Did Jesus give her her life back? He gave her life back, didn't he? How many of y'all would say this was a massive miracle?
Amen.
It was a massive miracle. So church family, let's get practical with this, okay? Listen, a couple of points. Is Jesus our primary go-to? Or in desperation, do we try other things? You know, I have a friend of mine from El Paso, Texas. He doesn't listen to my videos, so I can say this. He's a little crazy at times, but he's been an enduring friend. I've known him, gosh, since I was a freshman at the University of Texas at El Paso, actually. That was back in 1984. So how many of y'all know that's just for me. I still look the same. But Facebook does wonders. I have all these church people from former churches saying, "You look the same. Thank you." Anyway, where was I? 84. And you know, there was a time in the 80s where he suffered sleep deprivation to the point that he began to hallucinate. And the family was desperate, and he had gone to church for prayer, and it seemed like nothing had happened. He had tried so many different things, and nothing had happened. And his condition only grew worse, and the doctor said, you know, we don't know what to do with him. We prescribed all this medication. We don't know what to do with him. And then so the family took him to some New Age gurus. This is a Christian family. To some New Age gurus. How many of y'all know that there are a lot of people desperate outside of these doors, or maybe inside these doors, that'll resort to anything out of desperation? Amen. But how many of us know that you don't need to go farther than Jesus?
Amen.
So he got plugged into a kind of like a recovery group in his church, and they worked with him, and kind of he got his thinking reprogrammed, and he's a big sleeper. It was a big miracle. Listen, church family, my point in saying is that in desperation, a lot of people will do many different things to try to find alleviation to their suffering, especially when other sources don't seem to be helping.
Amen.
And how many of us know that the only solution to helping others is Jesus?
Amen.
I don't want to sound like a platitude. Listen, once you know Jesus more and more, you'll know that what I just said is very true. Amen?
Amen.
It's not just religious talk. It's not just the answer to give. He is the answer. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word. For giving us snapshots of the Savior. Father, help us to grow closer to Jesus. He who adopts the rejects. He who adopts those that society no longer wants. He who adopts those in the bottom of the barrel, Lord. Thank you that he receives. Jesus, you yourself said, "He who comes to me, I will never, no, not ever, not now or forever, find the reason to reject you." We're thankful for that. Lord, I pray that everyone listening within the sound of my voice, that they would turn to Jesus. If they have not had their sins forgiven, if they are having a difficult time with health issues or with other issues, relational issues, issues with their children, Lord. Issues with their spouses, issues with the in-laws, whoever is in this dilemma, in this picture for them. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch them, that you would move on their hearts. Father, may they turn their eyes toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.